This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
This is iFanboy Special Edition Avengers Infinity War. Hello, welcome to Special Edition iFanboy Avengers Infinity War. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Sup?
And Ryan Haupt is here with us.
I am Ryan Haupt.
And we're here talking about Avengers Infinity War, which is the culmination of the first 10 years of Marvel Studios, which has been doing this continuous story since 2008, which has been crazy. And there'll be spoilers in this discussion, so if you haven't seen the movie, pause the show and come back. You definitely don't want to be spoiled. So this is a film directed by the Russo brothers, Anthony Russo and Joe Russo, who started off with Captain America Winter Soldier, and they did Captain America Civil War, and they're the new sort of big guys on the block for Marvel Studios doing the Avengers movies. And Christopher Markus and Stephen McFeely wrote it, and everyone is in it. Everyone.
Well, not Hawkeye.
Not Hawkeye. But
there's his first spoiler.
What was he missed? So this is a huge deal, obviously. This is like the biggest movie in the history of the world. And as I said, everyone is in it from all these giant Marvel movies that make $1 billion. But let's talk about briefly, you know, what, going into this experience. I did have that nostalgic feeling when the Marvel Studios logo came on. At the end of it, they replaced the I and the O with a 10. And I did think for a minute about how crazy it was that in 2008, I saw Iron Man in a theater in Brooklyn by myself, and it wasn't even, I don't think it was even opening weekend. I think it was the second weekend it came out was when I saw it.
Iron Man? You waited that long?
I think it was the second weekend.
We would have done a show about it, though.
Did we?
We had to have.
I almost went back in the feed to see if you did, but I didn't.
That's a question we can answer, but I'm going to talk right now. I went to see it during the daytime in Queens, and it was when my puppy, who is now an elderly dog, it was the first time that I had left him at home in a crate for an extended period of time. And I remember the movie being quite long and being annoyed that I had to wait for a credit sequence.
Right. Oh, so you knew about the end credit sequence.
Yes. I need to get back. Yeah, I knew about it ahead of time, but I was kind of like, there had never been one. So I was like, is this going to be worth it? Because I was stressed out, had to pee, was worried about my dog. My dog was fine. I texted Gordon, the intern, about something. He said, your dog will be fine. He had a dog and I did not. And now my dog is like blind in one eye, not unlike several of the characters in the movie, and doesn't walk very well, not unlike one of the characters in the movie. So, full circle.
I don't know if we did. We must have done a show on it, but
have done a show.
I see Iron Man 2 and 3.
I distinctly remember being on set for Iron Man 1. Which is not a lie, actually, because it must have been 2007, 2006, maybe.
We did.
I was doing some.
I'm sorry.
I was doing paleontological field work out in the Mojave Desert, and we stumbled across a bunch of Paramount Studios trucks building a set. And I thought it was going to be the Indiana Jones Kingdom of the Crystal Skull movie that doesn't actually exist, never came out, interestingly enough. And my buddy Patrick just rolled the window down and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Iron Man." He's like, "Cool." And then rolled the window up, and we kept driving onto the fossil site we were going to. And I was just like, "Wait, what? That was Iron Man?" And it's the set where he comes out of the cave in the original Yankee suit. And then I was living in Costa Rica when the movie actually came out, so I couldn't see it until it came out on video. Because there were no theaters in the town I lived in.
Maybe I would. Maybe I did see it, I guess, opening weekend.
We did the show 2 days after it was released.
Wow, interesting.
I posted on May 4th, 2008, and the movie came out on May 2nd.
Interesting.
And 10 years ago, basically this month, was also when I met my wife, much like your puppy, Josh. So we both had relationships that kind of started around this time and have gone till today.
Is she holding up better than my dog?
I mean, she's also blind in one eye, but...
Right.
It is interesting what they have done. Everyone's trying to emulate in Hollywood, but this continuous story through various many, many, many characters and movies. We've had Avengers films. We obviously have had two and a half, if you count Captain America Civil War. And we've gotten to the point now where this is the one I think people have been really, really waiting for since the first Avengers film, which is the one where... It's not just the Avengers, it's also the Guardians of the Galaxy, it's also Spider-Man, it's also Black Panther, it's also Doctor Strange. It's everyone that we have seen in a Marvel Studios film together in one location. As finally, Thanos, who we now know is the pronunciation, arrives after first seeing him at the very end of the original Joss Whedon Avengers film. This is Infinity War, which is loosely based on the Infinity Gauntlet story from Jim Starlin and George Perez and Ron Lim. And here we are with the story. We're ready to go.
Did you guys do any of the, you know, there were a lot of people talking about what movies they were going to rewatch. What were their essential movies leading up to this story? I'm guessing you guys didn't watch anything to prepare.
I have over the last year watched several of them again because my kids wanted to watch them. So that wasn't really preparatory, but it was sort of passively preparatory. So I've seen the Avengers movies. I've watched through Cap 2, and I don't remember if I saw 3 again. Like, I've watched both Guardians of the Galaxy's movies in the last year. I watched, obviously, we thought Thor Ragnarok and the first Iron Man. I've seen a bunch of them. That's my point.
I watched most of the first Iron Man, but didn't have time to finish it before going to the showing today.
These are so prevalent in our culture.
Yeah,
you don't really need to, especially for us as people who review them. But, like, you know, everyone goes to see these. So I didn't have time to specifically watch any, but it's not like I haven't seen them all multiple times, except for Doctor Strange.
You know what's annoying is that no matter where you go, the Ant-Man Blu-ray is still like $25 everywhere. It will not drop in price, and I just don't want to pay that much.
Do you need it? Why do you need a disc?
I want my kid to watch it. Because it's the same price for digital, so I may as well get one of each.
All right, that's fair.
That's why.
So here we
have digital is $10. Sure.
Thanos wants the Infinity Stones, not the gems, the stones, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get them. They're spread all over the galaxy. Some of them are with, like, Vision has one in his head. There's the Tesseract. There's the ones that the Asgardians hid with the Collector. They're all over the galaxy, and Thanos is doing a little road trip across the universe to get them. And, that's basically the overall thrust of the film. What did we think overall about the movie?
Oof.
There's a lot here. It's a 2.5-hour film with credits. It's like 2:40. There's a lot to talk about, so let's just dive in.
Wait, hold on. Before we do that, though, real quick, let's check in now. What was your level of anticipation? Were you excited? Did you think you were going to like it? Were you ambivalent? Did you not know?
I was excited for it.
Yeah,
I like these movies, and Black Panther was terrific, and I like the Avengers characters. I mean, the thing that has been the constant for these 10 years is that these actors playing these characters have been almost universally pretty terrific, and I like spending time with them. So I was excited for it. I'm always a little apprehensive. Just, and you know, I'm looking at the poster right now with the 15. 15 is understating it. How many lead characters are in the film? So I was a little apprehensive, but I mean, I was genuinely looking forward to it. So I was excited for it.
I was also genuinely excited for it. This was the first movie where I avoided watching the trailer when it first dropped because I've gotten tired of being disappointed by movies because I saw the trailer and right when it came out, when I was really excited about it. I did end up seeing it in front of probably a Star Wars. Enjoyed the trailer fine, but I do think that putting off at least seeing the trailer for a few weeks helped me modulate my expectations. But by the time the movie was actually coming out and I knew I was going to get to talk about it with you guys, the day I saw it, I got pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty excited. I think the big ones are... This is one of the big ones, and I think some of the smaller...
This is the biggest one.
Yeah, and it looked kind of cool, and I thought, well, this is... It's interesting as a 10-year thing, as a culmination of an experiment that really people like us have dreamed about forever, and to sort of see them pull it off, I thought was neat. I didn't really know anything about it other than I've read the Infinity Gauntlet. I know who Thanos is. I've watched the other movies, but I didn't know a thing about this movie. And actually, like, I didn't even know who directed it or wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the end, I watched for the credits, and I missed. So right until you said it, I didn't know who did it, which is interesting. I was like, I don't think that was Joss Whedon. I mean, obviously, but so I didn't really know a lot going in. I went in just like, I know what the movies are like. And so I know what to expect from that. And it'll be fun. And it was that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I thought it was super fun, but and this is my...
Did we drop a spoiler warning?
We did already. The knowledge of, so originally this was Infinity War Part 1, and then the next one was Infinity War Part 2, and then they made a big show of not having it be Part 1 anymore. So when
forgot that.
So when it ended on a cliffhanger and it cut to, credits, my initial reaction was, huh, because I didn't expect it to not wrap up. So when it ended that way, when it was very Lord of the Ringsy in terms of how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's true, but I also feel I was like, wow, this is what Empire Strikes Back must have felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Like for real, the first time.
When you weren't a baby.
And you weren't expecting it, yeah. At all. I had no idea, or if I'd heard, I forgot that they were splitting into two movies. And I got to the, and I was getting there, I was going, boy, someone's going to have to win soon. Because it's late. Like, I just looked at my watch, and I went, and then, he sits down, and it goes to black, and I was like, bold. That was my thought. My real thought was, that's a bold choice.
Right.
That was what I thought. That's my real thought. And so I came home, and I had to explain it to my wife, because she's like, what did you think? And I was like, that's a complicated question for someone like me. But I go, can I just tell you what happened? She said, sure. And so I told her, I go, so I don't know what to think because I haven't seen how it ends.
Right, because that's the thing that's hard for me. I think the hardest thing for me with this is it's not a full story anymore.
Right.
I mean, all these are not full, the way they have them created. But it's really like the movie ended halfway through Act 2 or even at the end of Act 2. But we didn't get an Act 3 here, so... It's hard to judge the overall story. As a film, we can talk about it. But it ended and I was like, oh, right, there's another one coming. So this is only part one, even though they took part one off the title. I was a little sandbagged in that sense. Mm-hmm. Not in necessarily a bad way, but I was thrown off my axis a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, so that being said, I think, so we're Sam and the girl all in the same place with that.
I'll tell you what, though, the woman next to me, who I guess has never read the Infinity Gauntlet, was weeping at the end.
Because of all the dead
characters.
I have a story.
Okay.
A friend of mine, girl I used to go out with in high school a long time ago, messages me this morning. She said her 11-year-old son was completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Went to bed crying himself to sleep, specifically saying how Peter Parker said he didn't want to die. And was sadly blown away to ash.
Right.
I teared up for that one.
Because I was... It's not that I teared up. I didn't.
I did. But I teared up for just for that one.
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, the thing was, I was watching this. My 4-year-old went to see Black Panther with me, and he really enjoyed it. And I was like, I'm going to watch and see if this is something he can watch. And most of the way through, I was like, nope. And I got to the end, and I was like, definitely nope.
Nope. Yeah, no, it's hard. If you don't know the story of this, it is very loosely based off of. And I think that's something we should talk about later, is how this compares to the source material, because one of my problems with the films was Thanos' motivation.
I can counter that, but we will get to it.
So, you know, he gets the he gets all the gems, and he gets the power of the Infinity Gauntlet, and his whole plan is to rid the universe of half the population as it is in the comic. And so he starts doing that, and by the end, all these people start turning to dust, and we lose half the characters. We lose Spider-Man and Black Panther, and who else died?
Peter Quill, Star-Lord.
Yeah, most of the Guardians of the Galaxy all died. And
Fury,
Scarlet Witch, and yeah, so you know, everyone starts fading to dust, and
Doctor Strange dusts.
People in the theater who, I guess, had, you know, didn't know, were freaking out. It's interesting because at the same time, it's like, okay, but does anyone really think they just killed off Black Panther?
Right. Well, after so his giant movie, so the 11-year-old, I get it.
Sure,
the 11-year-old
totally.
Doesn't know. Adults, don't be stupid.
Right. I mean, I'm not talking about comic readers who know the book, but like...
To counter that, isn't there value in letting yourself feel that emotion and losing yourself in that
emotion? 100%. I'm not talking about the emotion. You can have the emotion. You can watch a thing. You can know in a movie, oh, that's not real, and it gives you an emotion. That's fine. But to have an actual, like, I can't believe they killed them, that most people, I would think, would know, like, this is a series. But I don't know. I had a push and pull
because there's so many things swirling around. So number one... Obviously, they didn't kill off Spider-Man and Black Panther. Number two, he's got Infinity Gems, which can do anything. So none of these people are permanently dead if they don't want them to be. Number three, but there's also the knowledge in my head that a lot of these actors don't want to do these things anymore. So maybe some of them are permanently dead. So I don't really know what's happening. When the beginning, it opens up, and Thanos kills Loki, mm-hmm. one of the best characters in these last 10 years.
Sure.
And he could be dead. He could not be dead. We've seen him die before. He wasn't really dead, but also... I don't know if Hiddleston doesn't want to play him anymore, so maybe he is dead. There's all kinds of things rolling in my head as someone who pays too close attention to what's going on in the background.
Well, but that's also informed with a different kind of knowledge, I guess. But also, you know, is there anything left to do with Loki? Do we want to keep seeing that same thing over and over again?
I know certain people who do.
I realize that, but from a storytelling standpoint, at a certain point, they're not going to have anything left to do, and I think actors are cognizant of that, you know. As are filmmakers, and they have to just give you something else. You know, if they're going to lose Captain America, they're going to lose Tony Stark. Well, then you get T'Challa. You get, you know, that's sort of, you move on in that way. But either way, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I know that some of the characters are going to come back. Something will change. I hope it's not like, I can't imagine they leave everybody dead. That would be horrible.
Well, they can't. I mean, we already know they're making more movies. They're making another Black Panther movie. So obviously he's not dead.
Right.
I know you guys like to know how long people think about things.
Sure.
I thought for the 3 hours after seeing the movie before we recorded this, and I have a pretty good idea, I think, of how they're going to bring the majority of them back.
Well, he's got them all on his glove.
Right. They're all inside the Soul Stone.
Oh.
So I think when he killed everybody, when he dusted them, they went inside the Soul Stone. So the scene where he is walking on water talking to young Gamora, I think that scene takes place inside the Soul Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Gamora is inside the Soul Stone because she was sacrificed to bring about the Soul Stone. And so I think the teams in the part two of this film will be the people still left in the real world and the people inside the Soul Stone, and the people inside the Soul Stone are going to have to find a way to escape.
Mm.
In doing so, they'll break the Soul Stone and reduce the power of the gauntlet to the point where they can fight.
So... there's a lot to like about this. I really enjoyed it. But let's get out of the way the things we thought didn't necessarily work.
Okay, we're going to do that first.
Well,
be hard.
Let's try it first.
Okay, let's try it first.
It's been 10 years.
So my biggest problems, and they weren't super huge. So in the book, Thanos is doing all this to win the favor of death. He's in love with death. Here, he's basically Thanos Al Ghul. He thinks there's too many people in the universe that are taking up too many resources. That's basically Ra's al Ghul's whole shtick. And I didn't really buy that for Thanos. I didn't buy that there's that this guy is doing all this stuff because it feels like there's just too many people on the planet and in the world, and they're taking up too much food. It didn't make sense to me. I thought it was a little. There's 23 people on the poster. Well, 24 if you count Thanos. I thought it was a little choppy in terms of getting everyone screen time.
So what's funny is that when I saw the trailer for the first time and then I saw the poster, my first instinct was like, nobody's going to be happy because somebody's going to be short shrift. And actually, I didn't think it was too big of a problem. It was a very full film.
I think they did the best they could with 45 lead characters.
I think they did a good job focusing on the people who mattered, who we wanted to see, and we got a taste of the other people. We didn't get Ant-Man. We didn't get Hawkeye. I don't really care about that, but I'm trying to think of who was in there that I felt I needed to see more of. Like, I would have liked to see more Bucky, but really what was in there was appropriate. He gets a couple of lines. He looks cool. I think that they handled that very well, given the circumstances.
There was a couple of, like, Peter Dinklage as the dwarf who makes the weapons.
Which Julie was like, is that really the dwarf that made Thor? And she actually went and looked it up in her Norse mythology book.
And was it?
And that is the correct dwarf.
He, I thought, was playing it really over the top.
My thought was, really? You only can do that one British accent? Because I'm looking at your Game of Thrones character right now.
Yeah.
You're doing nothing else to make me think of anything different.
Well, there was a couple of times he was just, I thought he was playing it really melodramatically.
Well, his hands were all messed up. He was
talking about Asgardian. Like, if they're going to do it anywhere there. I don't mind.
Well, okay. Right. So I guess I'll save my Peter Dinklage comments for mostly for things that I liked. Yeah, his accent was the same accent he does in Game of Thrones, but it does fit with what Chris Hemsworth's supposedly ancient Norse accent is.
And Peter Quill's.
Yeah, that was really funny.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, other than that, I thought they did a really good job. It was really entertaining and funny and fun. And it was great to be with. Was there anything else that bothered you guys before we get into stuff that we loved?
Brian, you go first.
I actually thought that the special effects when the helmet from the Hulkbuster armor gets removed and Bruce Banner's in there didn't look great.
No, he was weird.
So I thought that was a little off. But that's always, I mean, that's a problem with the Iron Man armors because, as we all know, scientifically, the Iron Man armors are much bigger than an actual human, especially that one. So it's going to look weird. Yeah, I mean, the only character we didn't get enough of as much as I wanted was maybe like Shuri from Black Panther, Letitia Wright's character.
Yeah.
Because I really liked her.
Got a whole movie with her like a month and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I just need to. I can't rewatch it, though, because it's not out yet.
Go so again. It's playing everywhere still.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not the theater I went to, but the theater I went to only has like three screens.
I'll tell you where it was playing a month and a half ago. It's playing at the Smithsonian, the name.
Well, Air and Space. I'm not going to go across the mall to Air and Space. My office is in natural history.
Literally across a park.
Well, you know, but there's tourists out there, Josh.
Why is this playing here?
I was bummed we didn't figure out where Cap's original shield was, but that's just me being.
That was that's the other thing. It. Well, that was a huge problem too.
Well, I will jump on that right now. There's an iconography problem here.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I missed all that.
First of all, the king said, get this man a shield. It's in the trailer, and he didn't have a fucking shield. And he needed a shield. And his suit was all black, and I get it. Yep. Really, if I had, there was a couple of things like that where largely Captain America, I think a couple of the others, like, I don't think Captain America had a big enough part. If we were going to talk about, like, there was a soul to him that was important that he was there, but to me, I think there is a point, like, if you read that comic book, if you're Connor, for certain, you want Captain America's will to be the thing that beats him. And we might get there, but we saw him get him beat up. There was no shield. There was no thing. And his like, his stars and strips were kind of blacked out and dull. And I just was like, oh, that's not what I want in this. Now, there's going to be time for them to redefine.
We all want bearded Cap, for sure.
I did, but I also wanted that to change in the course of the thing. Like, I was like, his hair's too long. It's in the way.
You want him to get back to being Captain America, not this guy in the run wearing the black suit. And and I will say this, the biggest cheer in the audience was when he walks out of the shadows in the beginning. Yeah. that the whole audience went berserk for Captain America, which still makes my heart very happy.
In that same vein,
Natasha.
Well, her hair was blonde, which is dumb.
But what's strange about that was she is a natural blonde, but she looked weird.
Yeah, well,
I think it was her eyebrows.
She's supposed to have it. Now, there's two white ladies in the whole fight, and one of them is the Scarlet Witch, and she's not wearing a red suit, so she's got reddish hair, and I get that you don't necessarily want to visually have them look
but
the same.
But they had no problem with that in Age of Ultron.
I know. I'm trying to make up for it, but it was kind
of
dumb.
Well, the Russos didn't direct Age of Ultron.
So, whatever. That's not a big deal. It's not even worth getting hung up on. However, I think my big thing is there were a lot of moments which stopped people from doing things that they would have done under any normal circumstances.
Like what?
The Hulk being unable to transform into the Hulk is false drama. Mm-hmm. Like, at any point, the Hulk should have come out. And what they did was they gave you the Hulk. They gave you a little fight in the beginning, and he got beat so that you saw, oh, this Thanos is a big deal.
Right.
And then he was never a factor in the rest of the thing. Now, I'm normally very happy with more Mark Ruffalo, but there was this, like, Hulk blue ball thing going on. You're like, come on.
Also, he was playing it, like, strangely, like he was super high the whole time.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I really like Mark Ruffalo. And I liked Mark Ruffalo goofy in Thor Ragnarok, but not as much in this.
Right. It didn't make sense. You just feel like he was stoner Bruce Banner.
Right.
And it was weird.
For me, the one of the things about the Hulk is that in addition to being strongest there is, Hulk won't let Banner die. No matter how much Hulk may hate Banner or puny Banner, whatever. And so I get frustrated anytime Bruce Banner's life is in jeopardy and Hulk doesn't appear to solve that situation. Even if Bruce isn't necessarily angry, if he's in a state of heightened emotion because he's about to die, you know, I mean, they even talk about it in the first Avengers, which is based on a Brian Azzarello comic of like, I put a gun in my mouth and the other guy just spit the bullet back out.
Right.
So that to me is a legitimate storytelling issue of like, because if Banner dies, Hulk dies, and Hulk just wouldn't let that happen.
I agree.
Yeah, so that was a thing that was like he wasn't being used, I think, that was kind of lame. Overall, this is a thing that happens in comics too, and it's the Back to the Future thing. Like, as soon as you start to do the math, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But there's a very big discrepancy in power levels.
Mm-hmm.
This is some nerd shit right here, but this is why people listen, I think. Theoretically, Captain America, very strong, shouldn't be able to take a face-on punch from Thanos.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, like, others... Iron Man was too strong, you know.
He's
thought.
The star.
I know, but like, there's not a level that we have set, and that might just be again. That's because I'm a comic book reader, and I know that we had the handbooks, and we would say everybody had a class. Spider-Man's this strong, Iron Man's this strong, you know, and everything is still absolutely related to what I read their strength class was when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I know, Spider-Man about 10 tons. Captain America.
Yes,
maybe.
Yes. That's for everyone out there. That is the correct number.
Yeah.
And I didn't look it up. I have that same knowledge. And Josh is correct.
Yes. Captain America, like maybe a ton if he's excited. you know, like Hulk is 100 plus tons. Thor is 100 plus tons. The Iron Man suit, I think 65 tons.
That I don't remember.
It changes depending. And of course, now it's.
But you're right. Like they're these things need to be ranked in ways that are consistent.
And it wasn't.
They don't necessarily need to have a number assigned, but there should always be a greater than or less than whenever we're given an interaction between two characters.
Uh-huh.
And that greater than or less than can't flip.
Yep.
Unless it's Hulk, because Hulk is strongest there is.
And Hulk is the strongest there is. And that's a definitive rule. It was funny, the girl who was like working in the theater when everybody was like trying to find their seats or whatever, she was kind of trying to, like she cleaned the theater, but she was trying to quiz everybody. She's like, who's the best, Hulk or Thor? And everyone was like, Thor. And I was just like, no.
No.
Very quietly to myself in my seat. I was like, Hulk is the strongest one there is. Everybody knows that. And the matter Hulk gets, the stronger Hulk gets. This is elementary. so those are some of the basic things, but I also understand the filmmaking reasons why it's stupid to dwell on them. But the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing bothered me.
Yeah.
You're allowed to feel the feeling.
Yeah.
Even if you're not dwelling on it.
Why wouldn't he have the S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I'm not mad about it. It didn't ruin it for me. That's kind of where I'm
going. Why wouldn't he have the S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I know. It's weird.
What was like, there a thing? Was there? Okay, so that's two questions now.
He left his S.H.I.E.L.D. behind when he went on the run. That happened.
He gave it to Tony.
In the Civil War, yeah.
That's stupid.
So Tony has it.
Well,
Tony has it, and he's got it. It's probably out at that, you know, Avengers facility in the Richmond suburbs or wherever.
But they flew there.
Which is, but Cap, well, that's a good point. Yeah, Rhodey should have given it back to him.
That Rhodey was dumb. I mean, you really need it. You need that moment where he has the shield again.
Plus, it's just cool. It bounces.
I was surprised how much Doctor Strange, and I was surprised, I guess I shouldn't have been, but that's just my own personal thing, how much Guardians of the Galaxy, because I hate the Guardians of the Galaxy, but...
That's crazy to me.
I mean, I don't hate the actors or the characters, they're fun. I hate those movies.
I love those movies. Love.
They're great.
I was surprised how much Doctor Strange, I was surprised how much Guardians there was in the film.
So, let's switch over now.
Okay.
Now, Doctor Strange, not one of my favorite movies.
No, it's very dull.
There's really cool things about it. Yes. The way they did the magic and everything. Plot-wise, boring. I really love the guy who plays Wong.
Yes, he's great.
And Benedict. I really liked how he played in the movie. I liked how he got a lot of time in this movie. And I
also named Benedict Wong. He's also a Benedict. There's two Benedicts.
Awesome. No shit. I just put that together. And I really like Doctor Strange in this movie because he should be super powerful. I liked him in this movie a lot better than I liked him in his own movie.
Yes, for sure.
And I thought that was a fitting one. Like, he didn't go fist for fist, punch, punch with Thanos, but he was badass.
Well, one of the things I talked about in my office before we all saw it was how none of us, you know, loved the Doctor Strange movie, but we all knew from watching the film that he would be more interesting amongst all the other characters, and he was.
And he was. Yep.
Yes.
That was great. Now, I really like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I think there's a thing. I don't know. There's something about them. I like that it was unexpected for me. I think they're fun. They have a this sort of goes back. There's a moment where the moment when Peter Quill ruins everything.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah. felt like one of those Deus Ex Machina things.
But accurate.
Sort of. Yeah. No, like I was like, I kind of get that. There's another one. I guess the other one is that Scarlet Witch refuses for way too long to do what she basically did anyway.
Right.
Which was stupid.
Well, do you mean kill Vision?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously she'd wait for... I mean, she'd struggle with that.
I know, but it still felt like Vision would... I don't know. I want to see
I do like that Vision points out the irony of, like, it super sucks that you're the only person that can do this to me, yeah. and that you're the person who also loves me. Like, I liked that Vision was like, I get it. This blows, but yeah.
They pedal back from my original thought on it a little bit through some of that, for sure. Also, Vision got the shit kicked out of him right away, really badly, and I was like, Vision's way more powerful than that.
Yeah.
Like, he should have beat them.
Yeah, exactly. But he did say that whatever they hit him with messed up his phasing powers, and that's going to throw him off his game.
Yep. Those are the power level things. Like, they just had to arrange the stakes. They had to do that. Now, the good thing is it really felt like there were stakes in this. I felt like people were in danger and things were at odds a lot in this movie, which is a thing that you don't always get. And at the end, it was rewarded because they lost for now.
Yeah.
But that was really cool.
And they established the stakes pretty quickly. Like, they kill off some major characters in the first couple of scenes. But then there's honestly not a lot of death up until the finale, the climactic moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
There's basically one major character death during the course of the movie before we get to the moments at the end.
Can we talk about the best moment of the whole film?
Ooh, this could be divisive.
I don't know what that's going to be.
The only thing that I was truly surprised and gasped during?
Okay.
The return of Red Skull.
You definitely not giving it to you on the best moment.
Well, yeah, it was best for me because I didn't expect that in a million years.
I immediately went, that's Hugo Weaving's voice. But he played Red Skull. Yes, well, I'm good. That's my stupid superpower, by the way. I know voice. Like, if I watch a TV.
Add it to the database.
A voiceover, like a commercial, I can tell you who the celebrity is doing the voiceover every time. I can't recognize people's faces, but I recognize voices. So immediately I go, that's Hugo Weaving. But I had forgotten that he played the Red Skull because it was forever ago now. And so they showed him. But the thing is, my friend who I was with was like, did you like that? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what the point of it was. He's like, well, why did they do it? And I was like, I don't know.
To tie him back into everything. He was sent off by the
He got sucked through a portal by the Tesseract at the end of the first Captain America movie, which I'd forgotten about, but I remembered after I saw him. And I think one of Connor's criticisms of the movie is that Thanos had this agenda of wiping out half the life in the universe, not all the life in the universe, to appease Death, his mistress and love.
Yeah.
I feel like Red Skull, they were trying to tie together as many of the movies as they could, but B, that was a visual homage to the idea that Thanos is always courting death, because it's
The thing was, when we first saw him for a split second, I was like, oh, it's Death, because he has the skull face, and that was Death's other face.
I thought that too.
And then I was like, oh shit, no, it's Red Skull. And that was the moment I was like sort of giddy, because I hadn't expected it. He basically said he never wanted to do those movies again.
I liked the idea that Red Skull's been on this planet for 70 plus years, because, you know, Red Skull also has the Infinity Formula in his blood, but a messed up version of it, but one that still gives him supposedly enough longevity that that's not an absurd time for him to wait around.
Right.
That was cool. That worked.
I guess I don't feel one way or the other about it.
I loved him as the Red Skull. He was one of my favorite villains they had, and it was a bummer that he didn't want to do it anymore, and then the Red Skull's such a great character, and just to find a way to tie him into the story that made sense within the world they had already created made me really happy. And I just didn't expect it. I was, you know, most of these things, as fun as they are, they're not unexpected. You know, you don't really get super surprised. So a moment that truly surprised me. Also, we should talk about, did anyone get anything spoiled coming into this?
No.
I was pretty careful, but no, yeah.
But I've told everybody, like, I was like, go as soon as you can, because there's no way the ending is going to get spoiled for everybody pretty soon. Like, I was seeing spoilers everywhere after I'd gotten home. Like, just as little as, like, I didn't know. You'd be like, oh, man, Peter Dinklage. And I was like, I would have known what that meant.
Right.
And I didn't. No.
I think I'd heard that Thor's hammer was going to, new hammer was going to be Stormbreaker. But, I mean, how they got there I thought was pretty interesting. And even though there are, thinking back on it, there are clips of some of the important moments of that sequence in the trailer. But outside the trailer, it's just flashing imagery. And so without the context, I really thought that sequence, I was really glad, wasn't spoiled for me.
I want to counter the thing about Thanos and the 50% and Death. I don't know that Death is my favorite part of that, of Thanos in comics, by the way.
Is his love with Death?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And then it's represented by a woman that he can't get her attention. Right. I love it. I think it's great. I
can't see how comic book nerds could ever relate to that, though.
I don't know that they could have sold it in a movie.
And that's fine. I'm not saying they could have. I'm just saying this particular solution, in which he was basically Ra's al Ghul on a cosmic level, didn't. There was no build-up for me for that. It didn't make sense.
I hear you, but I liked it because they did. The way that they played him was very different than the comic book, and he had a lot of scenes like with Gamora and his whole love thing with her. Mm-hmm. And if he was just the mad Titan who only wanted to kill, you wouldn't have bought any of that. But they actually, quote unquote, humanized him to a certain level that made him an interesting villain in that way.
I thought Brolin was terrific.
Yes, he was.
Well,
and
I think
a lot of that nuance
behind the scanning of his face. And I thought he was a great Thanos. I keep wanting to say Thanos.
To kind of ride the middle line between the two of you.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially with a movie, you know, they've done stuff in these movies that I didn't think they would have the balls to do. Mm-hmm. They've shown Celestials, including, you know, the head in Nowhere, but then they've also shown in the first Guardians, they had a flashback and showed Celestials. They did the herb, heart-shaped herb of power for Black Panther. Like, they've done things that I thought were too comic booky to pull off and pulled them off. So I think if they'd gone at showing Death as his mistress that he wanted to court, it could have worked.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think they did the 50% thing because this is where I came up with my theory that all the people who got dusted are in the Soul Stone, and that's the best way to split up the team into a new 50-50 dynamic for the next movie.
Maybe.
Possibly. I don't mind
it as a solution. Like, it didn't bother me, and it matched with the characterization that they played, where you could kind of... Ra's al Ghul's one, they did it in Invincible 100 times. They've done, like, it's a classic comic book trope.
Well, when all the people started getting turned to dust, I kind of quickly clocked that, like, oh, it's, you know, that coin flip Thanos mentioned, where that's the only way to do it fairly is just to flip a coin and whoever gets killed, and whoever doesn't. But based on, like, the gasps I was hearing in the theater and sort of kind of what my wife was saying, like, I think there were people who thought everybody was just going to die, and then there would be a Deus Ex Machina to save them. And so the fact that half of them lived and just had to watch their friends die,
right?
I think actually did create a moment that you wouldn't have gotten if everybody was on the chopping block.
Yeah.
Even though I, like, as a detached person watching it, knowing the story, I wasn't... I mean, the Peter Parker thing was heartbreaking.
That's where I teared up.
I mean, I didn't tear up, but I was getting close. You know, that's if you've been horrible enough to lose people, you know that moment where you don't want people to go and they don't want to go. And even though I know he's not going for good, it still was a heartbreaking moment. And I thought Tony was dead when they stabbed.
I thought Tony was dead too.
I kind of wanted him to be dead.
Yeah. The whole audience, you could have heard a pin drop. I think everyone was freaking when that happened.
I wanted there to be a real death earlier, a couple more, which is, I think, so the stakes did feel a little high. Like, it felt like they were higher, but now in retrospect, like it would have been like one of those big characters really needed to go down. We even the Civil War, you know, War Machine was like the big, but he's fine, sort of. He looks a lot older now. You know, we haven't really lost anybody. Heimdall doesn't really count. Loki's a shit.
But listen, so anytime Idris Elba exits stage left, that's a sad moment for everyone.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But there's just
it was weird when Thor was with the Guardians and he mentioned, like, I just saw my brother get strangled and my best friend get stabbed in the heart. And I was like, who? And I thought about it for a little while. I was like, oh, Heimdall? Heimdall's Thor's best friend? Is that thing?
That's fine.
All right.
That's fine. It's because they spectacularly miscast Volstagg.
but let us.
I think I'm not that nerdy. I will come back.
You'll come back with the Thor nerd.
Yep,
sure. And then I'll say Titus Pullo, and you'll know who I'm talking about.
I thought all the Guardians and Thor stuff was terrific. Pirate Angel and all that stuff, and how pretty they thought he was.
Drax continues just to be a delight at every turn.
And also, it kind of recalled Avengers number 4 with him on the table, and they're all standing around him. You know, I had that sort of homage feeling in it.
Every time Thor called Rocket a rabbit, I laughed.
Yeah.
5 times, I think, and it was funny every time. And also, I really don't think in the midst of all this that Bradley Cooper gets enough credit.
No.
He has, with his voice, I mean, the animation is great, but he has, with his voice, created one hell of a character who's completely unique and totally works with the comic book version of it. And it's great.
And interesting that, like, Bradley's never on set with them. He's just in a sound booth somewhere recording those lines.
And he's really good voice acting.
Yeah, like, he's committed to it. It doesn't sound like him.
Right.
Which a lot of actors aren't good at.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard work.
I agree. And especially, like, during the big Wakanda battle, you know, like, and he and Bucky are hanging out, and he tries to buy Bucky's gun, and then he tries to buy Bucky's arm, and then he just says, I'm getting that arm.
Well, this was this is the Marvel Studios porn that we all have been waiting for, right? It's all these characters interacting. That it's Winter Soldier and Rocket and Thor.
But I thought they made some really smart choices with how they had different characters interact. Like, I thought that it was really smart to have Peter Quill and Peter Parker both making pop culture references and being like, oh, hey, you like old movies too. And stuff like that. I mean, it's not overreaching in terms of its cleverness, but it works because it's all been established prior to this movie, and all you have to do is sit there and enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean,
it worked.
I think if someone saw this movie on its own without having seen any of the ones, it'd be incomprehensible, probably. But as a 10-year culmination, it's terrific.
But if you want to look at this as Avengers issue 118 double size spectacular.
For sure. It's the thing you always wanted as a kid.
Yes,
oh my God, the X-Men are in this issue? And the Defenders?
And that's end of the day, is this a good movie or a bad movie? It's a really good movie because it did that thing, which is what everybody was talking about, was making, and it took them, you know, decades and decades and decades to be able to get to the point to be able to do it. It was that thing.
Yeah.
And those stories, while legendary, the Infinity Gauntlet, things like that, they're not perfect stories, but there's enough of those things in them that it doesn't matter because you had fun with it. So there's flaws, there's issues. I saw some random person on Facebook, which is like everybody because I don't know most of them, you know, complaining about the movie. And I was like, how can you complain about this movie? Like, I didn't understand it.
Well, look, Thanos' motivation didn't make any sense. I'm going to die on this hill.
But
it didn't matter.
But Connor, nothing makes sense and nothing matters. You just said two of the components of your own mantra.
That's true.
But you can say that and you can know it and you can believe it, but you're like, that didn't ruin the experience of watching it in any way. It doesn't. I mean, like, you know me, I am picky and snobby, but at the end of the day, I was like, that was an awful lot of fun.
It's a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah.
And it's the one thing that for some reason Marvel has figured out how to do and no one else has figured out how to do is that these movies can tear at your heartstrings and make you tear up and be incredibly exciting, but they're always, almost always, with a couple of exceptions, a tremendous amount of fun. They just are. And yeah. Like, I got all emotional when Iron Man knighted Spider-Man as part of the Avengers, and he got...
Oh, that was a nice one.
And Tom Holland went through like four different emotions. To the end, he got all puffed up. That was a great sequence, and I got all emotional.
That kid's a great kid.
He's terrific.
You know what? Also, I will just say, you know, we all know that the blue glowing spider in the comic book is the stupidest thing of all time.
Yes.
The Iron Spider was not the stupidest thing of all time. And used in the context of this movie, not only did it make sense, but it was necessary. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. And it did not diminish anything that's cool about Spider-Man.
I hated it when I saw it in the trailer, and I hated it as an idea. But you're right, as Space Spider-Man, he needed that there. Suit, and I get it. As long as he doesn't use it.
The only part of it that doesn't work is that if you are leaving the atmosphere and you can't breathe, a parachute doesn't work because that's also air. Seriously, when those guys like do those crazy high jumps from the balloon, one of the things they talk about is how they don't feel like they're falling because at that height you don't feel the air rushing past you because there's no air.
Right. Mm-hmm. So my audience, the big moments, applause, cheer moments were Captain America's first appearance, and then it was when you started hearing the Wakanda theme when they said, "I know a place where you can go." Those are the two moments where the audience went berserk the most. But other than that, I think there was a lot of tense moments. It was really interesting. I found it fascinating to sit there and sort of take in the audience's reception as well as mine, was how many people bought into the idea that these characters were all dead. And they were super tense for that whole... Once that started happening, it was just like it was game over for everybody in the audience.
My theater was silent when the credits began. The loudest laugh of the entire movie was when Tony Stark and Benedict Cumberbatch were going nose to nose with that super tight two-shot close-up. And I just leaned over to Julie and said, "Sherlock versus Sherlock," and she yelped and almost knocked her beer over onto me.
I didn't even think of that.
And then her question was, which is worse, Robert Downey Jr.'s British accent or Benedict Cumberbatch's American accent?
Robert Downey Jr.'s British accent.
I disagree. I think
it's Cumberbatch's American accent.
I think it is bad. Worse. It is bad. No, it is. Absolutely. But
Benedict Cumberbatch's idea of an American accent is that we over-enunciate everything, and I am Dr. Stephen Strange.
I buy it as Dr. Strange is weird. He's strange. In the context... listen, in the context of this movie, not even his own movie.
Made-up names.
I'm okay.
He's great.
It's cool.
Even though I thought his movie was kind of boring, I liked him a lot. To see him get this much... Oh, another big cheer moment for some reason was when he was fighting Thanos and he floated up with all the arms. People were into it.
Into that?
Yeah, they cheered for that. It's a rollicking good time. But then I think the brilliance of it is it punctures the balloon at the end for most people.
Yeah.
I think people didn't know what to think walking out of that theater. I heard a lot of discussion in the lobby like, "Oh no, they're dead. Like, this is it." And people
should get the fuck out of the lobby and shut their faces.
I think one guy for sure was trying to convince his friends, even though he knew different, because I could just tell from what he was saying, like, "Oh yeah, no, there's no one doing this. They can't do this. They're all dead." That part, even though it threw me and my reaction was, was really smart on their part to sort of take the air out of everything. And even the post-credit sequence with Nick Fury and Maria Hill, which you would hope was like, "All right, Nick Fury's back. He's been gone forever." And then he just puff into smoke.
Dusted.
Having said that, no one cared about the Captain Marvel reveal.
They don't know it.
Yeah, but even when it was explained, people were like, "Okay."
Yeah, because they don't know it. They don't know what that means. They're unfamiliar with it. That movie didn't.
Yeah, Julie didn't care at all about that.
Like, I know. Oh, Carol Danvers is fucking badass. The Room was not a great movie, and I don't know why everyone liked it so much, but no.
I liked it.
It was fine. Whatever. I was just being smartass.
It's just Room. The Room is that Tommy Wiseau movie.
Okay, that's what I meant then.
I'm
helping you not get emails, friend.
As we start to bring this show home, that's almost an hour now. What do we see? Like, what do you do going forward? So they're going to wrap this story up with part two, which comes out a year from now. There's Ant-Man and the Wasp in July or June.
What are they going to do between now and then?
So it's I'm telling you right now, it's Ant-Man and the Wasp in July. And then there is Captain Marvel early next year, and then the next Avengers movie. There's only three.
No, practically, how do you do those movies?
What do you mean?
They've said that Ant-Man and the Wasp takes place before Infinity War.
Okay.
And I think Captain Marvel's a period piece, I think.
Captain Marvel takes place in the 1990s, yeah. That bygone era.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
90s period piece. It's a 90s period piece, everyone.
Yep.
There's nothing contemporary coming out until the next Avengers movie.
That was my question.
But
yeah.
So let's put you in charge. Kevin Feige steps down. Now you guys are in charge of Marvel Studios.
Josh and are in charge. We have to work together.
You're co-presidents. Cool. Like half these actors don't want to do it anymore, and they're all the big ones: Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, etc. So you can't really reboot, but you also can't really just discard the biggest characters.
You do what they did in the comics.
Yeah. Bucky or Falcon takes over as Cap.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, you could just recast. I mean, really? You could recast in the movie so that, like, we know that they're a different person. Or you could do this. I mean, the Spider-Man thing is the most... You find really good actors to be those characters, and you move forward.
I don't know what they're going to do. I've tried to work my sources.
If you want to do a canonical, like a in the continuity part of the storyline reboot, the Infinity Gauntlet is your Deus Ex Machina.
You mean suddenly you wake up and Ethan Hawke is Tony Stark?
New 52.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke's as old as Tony.
It's just an actor popped in my head. Like suddenly it's a different actor playing Tony Stark.
Yeah.
So I think you could actually reset the timeline using that device. Or you could just do a soft reset where you're just like, okay, new actors, new stories. We're not going to worry about it.
I think they should keep the continuity
and
just recognize that in the real world, these people can't play these characters forever because they age.
Right.
And so you find somebody else to do it. Now, you can have hits and misses, but they've been really, 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 really good at casting so far. We're on our third Spider-Man, and this is the best of all of them.
Yes.
Or is it the best of all of them? Because we just want it to be the best of all.
No,
of them.
Tom Holland is the most. He's the most authentically, even it's ironically because he's British, the most authentically New York teenager Peter.
So you do that. I think you do. I think you split a little. You do some. You just recast him because you have to. And I think you avoid it with Iron Man. You retire Iron Man. Tony Stark can be a guy in the background, become Nick Fury, whatever. Not Nick Fury, but that character.
You mean the guy in the moon?
Ugh. No.
Not the guy in the moon.
Like
the
unseen, take over that role in the universe so that person is around. Some of the others, you recast. They recast War Machine. You know, we got over it.
It's no offense to the great actors who played War Machine, but I have a harder time thinking the audience accepts, say, a new Captain America than a new War Machine.
I think Captain America, you actually do give the shield to Bucky or you give it to Sam. I think you just, because both those stories exist in the comics. They've got source material to pull from. And then we already had like a Winter Soldier movie that was a spy espionage thriller. And Bucky'd be perfect for that. Or, you know, you go a different direction with Falcon Cap.
And I think either should have gotten the shit kicked out of him in that whole battle. Sorry.
Well, there was one point where they come in and it's like Falcon Cap and Natasha and Bucky's like, oh, all the people without superpowers. They're running right at the aliens. They should all be destroyed here.
Yep.
I find all these things, I've got multi layers of interest in them. And so for me, I'm interested to see how the story plays out. I'm interested to see which actors finally get out of those contracts. I'm interested to see what they do going forward because they can't restart from zero. They've created this tapestry. They can't start over again. So what do? You can't, but you also can't lose Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor. You just can't lose them. And they lost Hulk, but that was early on. They were able to do it because it was only the second or third movie. You know, like they were able to do it early on, but I just don't know how you do that.
But even he's getting on. Like they're going to have to come up with solutions. Like that's the thing. And I think it's going to be a combination of those things.
What a perfect time to introduce the X-Men and the Fantastic Four to the universe.
But also people are going to have to get over it. And they're going to have to go to somebody else. James Bond, you know, like it's possible.
Batman.
There will be hits and misses, but I think that they should not reboot the universe and start over. They should keep what they have because now they have this backdrop, the same thing that comic book fans have had forever, where they can refer back to stuff that happened earlier, and it's the same story, even if the artist the artist drawing it or therefore portraying it is a different person. I think that that can be acceptable if they make it acceptable.
I think they should be very proud of what they have created, even though they are now sort of in a golden handcuff situation.
Yeah.
If you think about all the discussions we've had over the last 10 years of all these movies and all these characters in this giant shared universe and the envy of Hollywood, and they've pulled it off for the most part with a, you know, their average is extremely high on these films.
Yeah.
Is there actually a bad one?
Yes.
Is there actually a bad...
Iron Man 2 is bad.
Yes. But it was bad, but it wasn't like... Like there was cool things in it.
Sure, but it's bad.
And also there's right, but
they didn't have a script. What do you expect?
Yeah, but they didn't. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Like, I don't think they knew what they were doing yet. I think. Yeah, but also,
I mean,
like,
they've also said that like we actually didn't have a finished script. A lot of that is just the actors improvising.
I will say this,
that just doesn't work.
Even the bad ones have had been entertaining in some way. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are bad, but I think the cast is entertaining.
Are you ugging the movies? Am I the only one who likes these?
No, I'm ugging his opinion.
I don't understand.
They're great.
My finger is hovering over the kick Ryan out of this call button.
They're so much fun.
But cast is super fun. I think as films, they're bad. I think the second film had no plot whatsoever. I thought the villain was completely over the top in the first one. But this is not talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. The point is, even those movies, which weren't good, the cast was really entertaining.
And
the cast was entertaining. Yeah, he was really bad as whatever the fuck character
was. I know,
was.
But it's funny now because he's Joe McMillan. Like, that's why it's funny.
But even then, the casting was perfect on the main characters, and they were so good to watch, even though the movie was bad. So, like, I think they should be really extremely proud of this entirely almost impossible thing that they've pulled off for these last 10 years.
Yep.
So, good luck in the next phase.
Well, I guess that I came home and looked it up just because going into this movie without spoilers, I didn't anticipate a cliffhanger ending.
Mm-mm. No.
I did not.
And like Josh said, it's fun to get something you don't anticipate from pop culture these days.
I know.
But at the same time, it changed the way I came into this discussion with you guys, because while I knew we were going to kind of be talking about the 10 years that preceded this, the story's still not quite over.
Nope.
And maybe like we still have to wait 3 more movies for the end of this particular era of filmmaking.
I don't think we do. I guess you're right if you count Ant-Man and
yeah, I mean, three more special edition Marvel, you know, podcasts
for
from
sure.
You guys.
Yes.
Before the next Avengers movie that'll cap it. And it'll be really interesting to see how what happens there and how that movie ends. Like we've kind of been talking around a little bit.
For sure.
I felt like I was going to have more of a sense of finality coming into this discussion with you guys than I actually do. It still feels like a vibrant and alive universe, even though Thanos won.
Well, that's because they changed the title. They specifically said, oh no, we're not calling it part one, part two anymore. They're two different Avengers movies. And so in my head, that's what was happening. And when it didn't happen, and when it was on a cliffhanger, when I was like, whoa, huh. You know,
it's great.
This is crazy. They're doing, this is the end of Lord of the Rings, when the guy in my theater stood up and said, what the fuck? Like,
well, so
that's nuts.
You know, you guys know more about like making films than I do in terms of, was the original plan that they were going to film both movies simultaneously and then release them as parts one and part two, and then they collapsed those double filmings into one movie and are now going to film another movie, or did they just lie to us and they actually were planning on doing two movies all along?
I believe they filmed them, if not back to back, very close together from what I've read.
So everything's been filmed.
I think they'd have had to in a way, just because of all that
scheduling
and talent. I think that's absolutely true. I mean, to me, it sounds like when they said, I don't know when that happened, but if everybody had seen that this was a part one in the beginning of it, then the effect of the ending would have been much, 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 much less.
For sure.
And it had to have been long enough ago that people didn't forget that. It wasn't like Kill Bill, where people were like, oh, they just split this into two movies at the last minute, you know?
Because there were parts in the trailer that didn't make the final cut of the film.
Well, they could have been cut out.
That happens.
Yeah, no, I just, I wasn't, I, but that was where the idea in my head was like, did did they film two movies simultaneously and are going to cut them in two in the edit bay, or are they actually two separate films? And I think the latter. I think you guys are right. I just, that, you know, because there were parts in the trailer that didn't make the final cut, it was a question I had.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. But I like the way that they did this because I was surprised. I was genuinely surprised, and I do not expect that. And I like that. It feels like a comic book. Oh, right. You're not gonna give me that. It's next issue. Like, there's no closure to it. There is closure. It's not good closure.
But usually the next issue is in a month or in 3 days. I can't figure out what the new scheduling is. Yeah. But
well, that's the world.
Not a year. That's the issue now, is it's a year.
Well, we're used to that. I mean, Star Wars is on a every other year schedule.
Well, Star Wars has always been movies. Connor won't even read the comics.
This is not about me. This is not an indictment of me. But, we're not here to prosecute.
But audiences are now acclimated to this. A year, they did it with Lord of the Rings. They did it with Harry Potter. They did it with a year's not bad.
I wasn't in Connor's theater, but I was the guy at the end of Fellowship that was like, wait a second, I just started to care about these characters, and now you're taking them away from me?
Did you not read the books?
No, no.
Wow.
He was also 5 when those movies came out.
No, I was in high school.
I thought you'd be more of a nerd than that. Like, you know there were 3 books, right?
Just to wrap up the question that Ryan had earlier, they filmed them back-to-back.
Okay.
So,
like Back to the Future 2
yes,
and 3.
Yes, like Back to the Future 2 and 3, yes. They are theoretically done. They'll probably do some reshoots, but anyway.
I'm sure there's quite a bit of effects work to be done. Random, completely unrelated question.
Yeah.
It is related to the movie. I was watching the credits because I had nothing to do but sit there.
Yeah.
And it said Arrested Development credit.
I saw that question too.
Now I know the Russo brothers are directed a lot of Arrested Development, but what Arrested Development character was in it?
But was it a reference? Because at some point they were calling Thanos' minions pop culture characters. Did they refer to one of them as an Arrested Development character?
Hey, you don't have to credit that. Like,
I don't know.
Called the Grimace. You don't have to credit McDonald's. That's not how that works.
I don't know. Was Michael in it? I mean,
when I was thinking, I
did
too, and Julie and I were both confused. And I mean, you think of the people making pop culture references, like Peter Quill's references are all from the 80s. He didn't watch Arrested Development. He missed out on that. Now he's dead.
Poor guy.
So he never will get that joy. It must have been, I mean, maybe there was a TV in the fish and chip, the Chippy in Scotland that was playing the news. Maybe they showed it playing an Arrested Development scene before the news cut in to show the attack on New York. Like, that was the only thing I could think of where a TV screen was on screen.
Hmm.
So
Vulture seems to think that Tobias was in the movie.
If that's what it is.
Yeah.
Blue Tobias Funke is I can't stop looking. I have to go see it again.
Oh.
It would have been in nowhere in the collector's place.
Oh.
Like, in one of the, like, bins is
Tobias?
Yeah, you don't have to credit that.
Oh, what if it's just David Cross painted blue up against the wall?
Well, you know what? That's the second Arrested Development reference that they put to these films.
Well, the Russos are, that's where they're from.
Right. In Civil War, they had the staircase truck in the background during the fight.
I just found that.
So.
Well, you're going to get a hop on.
He did.
All right, well. Yeah. We've talked about this movie a long time. There's a lot to talk about. Listen, in case anyone's confused, we all really enjoyed it. It's a super fun movie. Problems and nitpicks aside, even though I had a problem with the villain's motivation, it didn't affect my enjoyment of the film overall.
Yeah, but the thing is that, and I want to, like, these problems and nitpicks are the same things that you would be doing. Like, it's what makes me think of when we talked about comic books as kids. Yeah, but this doesn't, or with Star Wars or anything like that.
Right.
It's a fun way to do it. It's not. It doesn't ruin it. It almost enhances it, and that's
well. And it's also it works for a movie like this because each of these characters have had their own movie, and so they've all had a movie essentially where they establish their own rules and they establish their own strengths and weaknesses. And so when you put them all together, you're bound to get a few crossed wires where things don't quite work in the way that we would expect or had already imagined that they would. And that's why this movie, probably more so than many other Marvel movies that have preceded it, is going to get this kind of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, not a bad thing, but that's why, from a perspective of a fan, this movie warrants that level of nitpickery.
And I'm just saying, in the next film, Thanos better have a green cape and a goatee.
I'll
be talking about the detective, because he was Ra's al Ghul.
In all seriousness, though, somebody better get that man a shield. Because if nobody gets that man a shield, I will walk.
Especially if Evans is done, he needs that shield moment.
He needs maybe a handoff moment. You know, mentioning green in the context of a purple guy, Josh has just had another idea of how we could solve this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Kang.
Kang is irrelevant in the presence of a time stone.
Or is he
the time stone?
It's really hard for us to talk about the plot and motivations knowing that this is only part one and there's a whole bunch of other things. So when Doctor Strange says it has to be this way, we don't know what that
is. Yeah, it was the only way. We didn't talk about this plot point specifically, but Doctor Strange uses the time stone to look ahead and see, you know, a 1.4 million possible outcomes.
No, it was over 4 million he looked at. It was like 14 million or something crazy.
14 million.
Doesn't matter. It's a lot.
But it got the decimal place in the wrong spot. Sorry.
You're a scientist, man.
It's all orders of magnitude. I was an order of magnitude off, which is a big, big miss. I apologize. And he said there's only one where we win. And so then the question is, you know, the speculation that's going to drive us ahead this year is, did he try to make that one happen? Therefore, is this part of a grander plan where he knows they do win, or did it get screwed up? Because...
Is this a butterfly effect, Dr. Ian Malcolm situation?
There was
an idea.
I bet Goldblum would say Thanos, interestingly. He was about to say, how many do we win? And he paused, and I was like, please say none.
Yeah, none would have been better than one.
Yeah. But one was the second best choice, and none, you know... What I heard was, so you're saying there's a chance.
That's what I heard when I found out it was.
So we've almost talked halfway as long as the movie is.
Yeah,
I got one more point. Can I make one more point about the end credit sequence? It's the end of the movie, end credit sequence. Nick Fury hits the button, texts SOS to Captain Marvel.
Yep.
And we know that movie is a period piece set in the 90s.
Yep.
But we also know that they've cast Brie Larson, and I can't imagine that they're going to have an entire film with her and then artificially age her 30 years to be present.
I assume her cosmic energy will keep her from aging.
Or I have an idea of that she could get flung through the time stream or somehow suspended or operate outside time, which could make her immune to the time stone.
Is this Ryan Haupt's fan fiction hour that we're ending the show on?
I talked about the Soul Stone stuff. I just speculate how, like, because that's the movie that's going to come out before this next one, and we, based on this teaser, we know that she's going to play a large role. And so I was just trying to think through, like,
So as we were walking out of the theater, this woman's walking, you know, through the aisles, and there was some dude sitting, waiting, very smartly waiting for the giant crowd to leave. And she turns to him and she goes, "Explain to me that ending. I know you know what that means." Anyone I do.
Like she picked out a nerd?
Yeah. And he did. He explained it. And she said, "I knew it. Thank you." It was funny.
Where our bread is buttered.
Yeah. So, listen, Avengers. Oh, we just do ratings. Okay, let's do ratings.
Ratings
on Avengers Infinity War out of 5. This is tough.
I'm gonna rate this as it would be fitting to rate a movie that's called Avengers: The Infinity War, which is the third Avengers movie in 10 years of Marvel. This is not a rating comparing it to The Godfather.
Right. Sure.
This is what the curve that this needs to be, and it's a 4.5.
Ooh. I was thinking 4.5 too.
I saw it yesterday.
4.2575. Okay.
4.2575.
Yes.
I mean, I guess I have to go 4.33 repeating. Into infinity. I did it, you guys.
Sticking with it. Yes. We'll see the next part.
I'll do it that weekend.
Here's the thing, though. Like, way more fun than Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Well, that one scene of the party in Age of Ultron.
Oh, sure. I've rewatched Age of Ultron. It's super fun. To me, I don't hate it as much as other people do, but like this was bombastic in a way that was very impressive. And I look forward to seeing it again.
In addition to making sure that Cap gets his shield moment, I will say I'm a little bummed that the original Mjolnir is not around for Cap to lift.
Well, speaking in the comics, it's not even around. It's like someone decided no more Mjolnir.
Scarlet Witch.
I want someone to walk up. It could be Agent Coulson. Hand Cap the shield. Hand Natasha a bottle of red hair dye. And then I'll feel much better.
No, just gotta wash out the blonde.
They were on the run.
Someone said that to me, and I was like, I don't give a shit. Give him a shield.
It's dumb. He needs a shield, and you need to know who you're looking at.
Yep.
All right. So that's it. Go to fanboy.com. You can find the post for this show, and you can leave your own thoughts about Avengers Infinity War. In addition to that, you can find our weekly show, the Pick of the Week show, about the week's comics, which we talk about those books every Sunday. Ryan's got Science Sort Of, where he talks about science. Are you doing a Avengers-themed episode?
No, our next episode is with a woman who was a volcanologist and is now running for Congress.
Okay, that's bad SEO. We should have an Avengers-themed episode. And maybe she can talk about the Avengers.
People are interested in Congress.
That's true. So always. You can find our shows at ifanboy.com. You can find Science Sort Of at sciencesortof.com. And Ryan occasionally guesting on our Pick of the Week show.
Always happy to be there.
Until the next special edition show, which I guess would be Deadpool. Deadpool 2.
Which is in like 2 days.
Hashtag X-Force.
Also featuring Josh Brolin.
That's true. That made me laugh. And then also, and then the film we haven't talked amongst ourselves about planning, Solo. Until those shows, I'm Connor.
Sorry. I enjoyed the whole show, and then you mentioned that movie, and now I'm like, I'm Josh.
Yeah, Connor, I think you might be on your own for that one. I am Ryan Howe. All together now, all together now.